With oil prices so volatile and big nuclear issues in Japan, what kind of energy course should the U.S. take?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. At this hour, President Obama is speaking about the nation's energy policy, talking about nuclear energy with deference to the crisis in Japan, and about America's reliance on foreign oil.
And we will keep on being a victim to shifts in the oil market until we finally get serious about a long-term policy for a secure, affordable energy future.
The president at Georgetown University just minutes ago. The White House plan, by the way, is to reduce oil imports by a third over the next 10 to 15 years. Marketplace's Washington Bureau Chief John Dimsdale is with us now with the latest. He's live. Good morning, John.
Hey, Steve.
How does the president propose to reduce those oil imports?
Well, first, he says that there are untapped oil resources in this country, but he also figures that given all the volatility in the Middle East, oil prices are going to be high, which provides another incentive to switch to cleaner alternatives like domestic supplies of natural gas. But, you know, Oxford University energy professor Dieter Helm isn't so sure that oil will be more expensive in the longer run. He predicts that the leaders of those Middle Eastern countries are going to be desperate for money to placate protesters.
The only way these countries can meet that public expenditure is to pump the oil. There's a huge amount of misplaced hype about some kind of coming oil Armageddon in the future. And in fact, the implications of this unrest is probably more production rather than less.
All right. What about our country's use of nuclear power with what's going on in Japan?
Right. The president says he's still a supporter. He thinks it's safe, even though he says that there are lessons to be learned from what's going on in Japan. He said nuclear remains in the mix of energy sources that are cleaner than coal or oil, and it's necessary to get us to the day when safe, renewable fuels are available.
Okay. The president's still speaking on America's energy policy at Georgetown. John Dimsdale, thanks for that. We appreciate it.
Thanks, Steve.
Updated word today from the Census Bureau that state and local revenues were up in the last 3 months of 2010 by more than 1.5%. Let's talk about this uptick and what it means with Donald Boyd, a senior fellow at the Rockefeller Institute for Government. Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
Where's this additional revenue coming from?
Most of the growth in this quarter was for state governments as opposed to local governments. In fact, local tax revenue was down. The big gainer was the income tax, which was up about 11% year on year. Corporate taxes, which are of less importance to most states, were up about 17%. And sales taxes up about 5.6%.
Does that mean more people are working? The income tax is going up?
That's certainly part of it. The other big driver is non-wage income. And while we don't have underlying data that can confirm it for sure, it certainly suggests that there was pretty strong growth in non-wage income and the payments on that.
So, all right, non-wage income, interest on stocks and bank income, stuff like that. The numbers sound pretty optimistic for state governments. Are we missing anything here? Are we overlooking something?
As far as state governments are concerned, a little bit of this growth may be temporary in the sense that some of the non-wage income growth may not continue at this pace on a regular basis. The other thing is, you know, as far as state governments are concerned, their budget problems aren't over, even though revenue is beginning to recover.
Yeah. Donald Boyd, senior fellow with the Rockefeller Institute of Government. Thank you.
You bet. Thank you.
As we just talked about, with income tax revenue on the rise, more people are working. Private employers added about 200,000 jobs in March, according to payroll processor ADP, while the number of planned layoffs at American companies was down. Let's check some other numbers. Markets are higher right now. The S&P and NASDAQ each up about 0.5%. The Dow up 74 points at 12,353. Family Dollar said profit was higher than expected last year. The discount chain said customers spend a little more money per trip.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Mini, with 37 miles per gallon and 3 years or 36,000 miles of boot-to-bonnet maintenance. MiniUSA.com/info. By LendingTree, providing up to 4 loan offers from a network of lenders. Learn more at LendingTree.com or 1-800-555-8733. and by Constellation, supporting customer choice and clean, efficient energy sources and technologies, working with customers nationwide to create a sustainable energy future. Constellation.com.
A new report out today shows some of the healthiest counties are not necessarily the ones where the hospitals are. They're the places where people choose to live healthier. Marketplace's Jennifer Collins reports.
San Juan is the healthiest county in Washington state. And that's a little surprising. A quarter of its residents are uninsured, and they couldn't drive to a hospital if they wanted to.
It's all islands.
John Manning is the director of Health and Community Services.
The only way to get here is to fly or take a boat. I suppose you could swim if you were hardy enough.
And the county does have some of the hardiest residents in the state. That's according to a report today by the University of Wisconsin and the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation.
If we do one thing with this report, we want to uncouple the link between the quality of health care and the health of a community.
Patrick Remington oversaw the nationwide report.
If a community like San Juan is active, eating right, not smoking, they won't need high-cost, life-saving health care.
And he expects more national programs to get Americans to live like the folks in San Juan County as healthcare reform rolls out preventative care initiatives over the next few years. I'm Jennifer Collins for Marketplace.
And finally, fitness guru Richard Simmons is sweating on the jetway. Simmons is the new face of in-flight safety at Air New Zealand.
First, let's stretch it out and lose that baggage. Stretch it up to the overhead locker or slide it under the seat in front of you. Stretch and slide. Yeah, you're a giraffe.
Stretch and slide. I wonder if there's a new fee for earplugs on that flight. Check out the video, by the way, at our website, marketplace.org. Share your thoughts with us about that and other things, too. The numbers at our website, marketplace.org. I'm Steve Chiatakis in Los Angeles. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
College tuition and fees are high and rising, which presents a problem for the schools.
The challenge for higher education, and has been for a long time and will continue to be, is how do we maintain access at reasonable prices and still generate enough revenue to provide a quality product.
I'm Kai Rizdal. Tuition discounting is a great deal for students, not so much, though, for the schools they'll attend. The story next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.